afternoon and welcome to the only show you need to get you through your Wednesday, to get you through another crazy, wild, maddening day of news. The first day of February. We'll figure it out together on the Jason Rand Show on AM 770 KTTH. Streaming on all those smart speakers like Amazon Echo and Google Home. We got a lot to get to. Another FBI search for classified documents. That is what's trending.
What's trending? The Biden administration.
The FBI launched yet another search for classified documents. This occurred at President Joe Biden's home in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. Biden's personal attorney, Bob Bauer, gave a statement saying that this was a planned search, that they were cooperating fully with the investigation. This was a search that had terms agreed to in writing, as was the case for the other searches. And I suppose in a bit of shocking news, they didn't actually find anything this time. Did they check the glove compartment of Biden's vehicle? Because I'm told that he is a car connoisseur, and sometimes he, you know, it's a locked garage with his car in it. Maybe it's in the actual car this time. It's possible. But I guess they didn't check. Or they did check. I don't know. They didn't find anything. A source familiar with the investigation told CBS News that the parameters of this consensual search were laid out similar to what happened with the Wilmington House search. So weird how a guy who's never held a job outside of public service is so wealthy and owns so many homes. That's bizarre. He's never had a job in the real world. And we know exactly how much he makes in public office. He's a very wealthy guy.
And he's got a fancy Corvette.
Yeah, well, I don't know how he got that. I mean, sure, I guess the property prices in Delaware, not quite what they are here in Washington. But my gosh, I'm sure it had nothing to do with any shady deals with foreign adversaries. So the White House counsel spokesperson Ian Sams made everybody laugh today when he spoke to the media.
Yeah, I think we've been pretty transparent.
Okay, hold on. Does he at any point, after saying that they've been pretty transparent from this point, does he at any point during any of this say, just kidding, I'm kidding, I'm joking, I know we haven't?
No, I don't think he does.
He did. Okay.
Well, play it. We'll find out, I guess. Okay.
Well, you know, sometimes you might edit something out. I don't know what you do.
Yeah, I think we've been pretty transparent from the very beginning with providing Psych! Information as it occurs throughout this process. You know, we have.
Okay. Just real quickly, and I'll let him finish. We've been providing you information as it occurs. So you've not been transparent. You're only telling us things after they happen because you were forced into telling us that it happened. So spare me the whole we've been pretty transparent when we knew, we now know back in November, the FBI searched the Penn Biden Center in D.C. We didn't know that part, the FBI part, until yesterday. So how exactly have you been pretty transparent?
Released probably thousands of words of statements from the president's personal attorney and the White House counsel's office about the process that has been undertaken here, that process that has been fully coordinated with the Justice Department as they conduct an ongoing investigation. And we want to be very careful to be respectful of the integrity of that ongoing investigation. And so I think that it's important to understand that as these things develop and as information develops throughout an investigation, we're trying to get you guys access to as much information as we can.
Really? You won't even tell us how many documents are being found? We don't know the exact number of documents because you won't tell us, and you're pretending that this could potentially harm this investigation. But again, the key takeaway was what? How have they been acting?
Transparently.
Exactly. How about what the White House press secretary has said many, 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 many times?
The search is clearly complete. They completed the search. The search is complete. He is confident in this process. You should assume that it's been completed, yes. After the search concluded last night, that search was completed last night.
Okay. Now I know what she's saying. The search that was completed. Not all the searching that could potentially occur That's not completed. That could continue for months and months and months. But the completed search that just happened is completed. But are the searches completed? Is all of it? The search is completed. All
transparent.
Of them? All of the searches?
Completed.
But the current.
Transparent?
No, but the current one is completed.
Completed.
Okay. But not the future one that we don't know about yet.
Transparent.
Okay. Today was the first day for Special Counsel Robert Hur being on the job to oversee the investigation into how in the world Joe Biden got these classified documents, held on to them since he was in the Senate. We don't know exactly what year the documents are from. We just know that some of them date back to the time that he was in the Senate. We know that this investigation probably will not find any wrongdoing, the same way that the Trump investigation isn't finding any actual wrongdoing, but they pretend that there's a whole bunch of wrongdoing there, and they'll pretend that there's none here. The cases are very, very similar. I don't care about either of them from a national security standpoint. I care about how the media is treating it. And I think the media does itself a disservice, and I'm part of the media, so shame on you. You're ruining my gig here. Because the media is taking a hit on the way that they covered this. I do think that they learned a lesson here, at least, in that they have been pushing back, finally, against Joe Biden. Not so much over at MSNBC, but that's what I expect from MSNBC. Now, we also learned about the FBI Biden thing. So I guess I don't understand how they can tell us with a straight face that they are acting in a transparent way. I just don't get it. And I will see tonight, obviously, I don't know how they're going to cover it on the evening shows. I'd be curious to find out how the media covers that claim of transparency. CBS had a story written online, and all the way at the end, they quoted this guy, Ian Sams, as saying that they've been transparent. No follow-up that says, well, I mean, that's what they said, but they haven't really been telling us anything. So they're just presenting it as if it's fact. CBS, at least. Now, will others? I don't know. We'll see. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending in Seattle?
So Como is reporting that a plan to create that homeless parking lot in the city of Seattle has stalled because they can't find a spot for it. Shocking. No one wants to house this place. The King County Regional Homelessness Authority, called KCRHA, also known as Kahuraha, they awarded $1.9 million in a contract to the Low Income Housing Institute, Lehigh. It happened last summer. The whole goal was to open this RV homeless parking lot, and they were supposed to open it as soon as humanly possible. We are in the middle of a crisis. We must treat this with urgency. And several months have gone by, and nothing has been done. Now, Lehigh is part of the homeless industrial complex. This is a group, like so many other groups and so many other activists within this movement. They make a ton of money. A ton of money when homelessness is bad. If you are to solve homelessness, they no longer make a ton of money. We are supposed to pretend that there's not even a subconscious effort on their part to not truly tackle the crisis, but maybe prolong it. You know what prolongs the homeless crisis? Putting a whole bunch of people in a hotel room and then just moving on. Because, see, they still get paid to monitor and manage and staff those homeless hotels. Or in this case, it would be an RV parking lot. John Grant is the chief strategy officer with Lehigh, explaining how his strategy has failed.
If we could just find somebody to be a hero and offer us the 30 to 40,000 square feet that we're looking for at a reasonable price, we could make this program happen very soon and very quickly.
Oh, got it. This is a city filled with people who think they're heroes.
Very true.
But that's a lot of space. That's a lot of space that they're asking
for.
Yeah,
30 to 40,000 square feet.
And I love this, at a reasonable price. What the heck does that mean?
Somebody's just going to donate 40,000 square feet of land in Seattle.
Yeah.
A hero.
You do realize how expensive land is here. I know housing costs, for example, starting to cool a little bit. But my God, 30 to 40,000 square feet? You give us a reasonable price. Oh, okay. Got it. Obviously, this has been a huge problem in Seattle. It's not new. It worsened during COVID because we stopped enforcing the law, and in, especially in Seattle, but King County as a whole, and Pierce County, and to an extent, Snohomish County, not quite as bad. But we basically said, yeah, you do your thing. We're not going to move you. They use COVID as the first excuse, but the truth is they never want to sweep any of these encampments. And so these homeless RVs pop up all over the place. In particular, they've been happening in the sort of Soto Pioneer Square neighborhoods. Thea Sands' family runs a cleaning business there. They've been there for over 100 years. This is a family-owned company. And she tells Como TV, I am done. I've had enough.
I think our worst one was when we had a motorhome back down our truck ramp and ditch their septic into our catch basin.
I mean, at least it's better than just putting it into the, just on the curb, which was happening in Green Lake at one point.
Ew.
This is like, oh my God. Keep something in mind, folks, because I guarantee you there's some fool listening right now who said, and I say that lovingly, oh, this is a Seattle problem. They're the worst. You do understand that at the state level, Democrats right now in Olympia are trying to legalize RV encampments all across the state. They are trying to pretend that the RV is going to be considered a homestead. So under the law, you wouldn't be able to evict them, which means you wouldn't be able to impound, which means they can park pretty much anywhere they want. And they're going to park right in front of your house. They're going to park right in front of the school that you take your kids to or the park that you take your kids to. That's what they want to do statewide.
And we're just tired. We're tired of fighting with it. So it's time to relocate.
It's time, after 100 years, it's time to relocate. Okay? They have put up with a lot of stuff over the last 100 years. A lot of stuff. Including, from a data standpoint, a worse part, a worse time of crime. The 80s were way worse than it is right now. Everything was worse in the 80s. Literally everything. Except my birth. But they've dealt with all of that stuff, and now they're saying, I can't anymore. I can't do it. We're out. We're done. They have, right now, give or take a few, nearly 450 RV encampments across the city, with over 115 just in the Soto neighborhood where her business is located. Think about that for a second. And I've gone down there. I've done some work there, some reporting there. And these are RVs that are completely broken down. You have no clue who's living inside of them. Oftentimes, they're drug addicts. Oftentimes, they are dealing drugs or fencing. That happens a lot. No one seems to care. Except for the people who, of course, are being impacted. Erin Goodman is with the Soto Business Improvement Area, friend of the show. And she said, look, this is just not fair on these business owners.
They're exhausted. They fought to survive through COVID. And they're continuing to fight every day to be able to keep their business open. One RV lot isn't going to address Soto's problem.
Of course not. It's not going to address homelessness. Oh, wow, you've taken a handful of the RVs and you've just put them in one area to be miserable together. They're already kind of in one area. Go to CenturyLink. Go to T-Mobile. Go try to find parking on some of those side streets. You'll find the parking lot encampments there. They're terrifying, and they're disgusting, and they smell. And thank you, Democrats. Going to go statewide. Speaking of which, let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? Back the blue.
Right now, there is a House bill that, unless you're reading King 5, which just got the whole story wrong, there is a bill in the House that would revert the vehicular pursuit law to what it used to be. Now, King 5 says House Bill 1363 would restore the ability for officers to pursue someone when the officer has probable cause that a crime has happened, a lower standard than the current law. So that's not true. It's actually quite the opposite of that. Right now, it's probable cause, and it would be probable cause for a violent crime. They would revert back to reasonable suspicion that a crime has occurred. Not a violent crime, just a crime. Because what has become incredibly clear, despite what some Democrats will tell you on the Senate side, we have seen an increase in crime as a direct result of the vehicular pursuit ban. Jeff DeVere is with the Washington Coalition of Police and Sheriffs. He testified in favor of this bill that would revert the policy back to what it used to be.
What we've learned over the last 18 months is that the policy, we didn't get it right. We found out that even in those jurisdictions where there is a no pursuit policy, there was a vast increase in the number of people who were not stopping for simple traffic infractions.
And it's not just folks who are not stopping. We are seeing an increase in smash and grab robberies, an increase in stolen vehicles or break-ins, stolen catalytic converters. Because if you can commit a crime very quickly and get back into that car, so long as an officer doesn't see you get violent, they cannot pursue you under the law. And to his point, we're even seeing an increase in this kind of crime in areas that already ban traffic pursuits or vehicular pursuits on the local level, like Seattle. We've seen a ton of this. But unfortunately, even though the House has support here, this can pass and likely will pass the House. It's not even going to get a committee hearing, as of now, on the Senate side. Because Monka Dhingra, who is the Redmond State Senator, who chairs the committee that would have to bring this up for a discussion, she refuses to acknowledge that the data shows an increase in crime that she can tie directly to this. She'll tie it to COVID. I'm sure she'll tie it to structural racism. Oh, boy. But she refuses to look at the law that she supports as being responsible for this. It is outrageous. And it's one person who's holding it all up, which makes me wonder whether or not Democrats, at least on the Senate side, because on the House side, they've come forward and said, yeah, I want to pass this. I want to go back to where it was. But on the Senate side, with at least one exception that I know of, Mark Mullett, I haven't heard any other Democrats support reverting back to what used to be the law, which makes me wonder if Monka Dhingra is just being that person who can be the target to give cover for everybody else on the Senate side so they don't actually have to take a vote on this, Democrats. And I say that because I haven't heard Democrats put a whole lot of pressure on Monka Dhingra. Have you? Have any of you heard your state senator who happens to be a Democrat say, this deserves a committee hearing? This at least deserves a committee hearing. I haven't heard those Democrats. Where are they? Why aren't they putting pressure on her? Because she might be giving them some cover. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? You can't make this up.
Oh, God bless Vice President Kamala Harris, who is seemingly incapable of delivering a speech in which she will not be mocked. It is quite a skill to be so bad, especially when you're a politician, to be so bad at delivering speeches. And some of it is the speech writer or speech writers who are compiling these speeches for her, but she obviously sees it beforehand. She gives it the thumbs up, and she acts so awkward during all of the speeches with uncomfortable laughter that almost sounds out of control, but it's like, you know what you're reading. This is not the first time you're reading, and you're not even saying anything funny. So yesterday, she took part of a Congressional Space Medal of Honor ceremony, and she was honoring former NASA astronauts Douglas Hurley and Robert Behnken. She celebrated the work of these two astronauts in front of a crowd that, while you might think based on her words, are a bunch of fifth graders, are actually adults. But you wouldn't be able to tell that.
Which brings me to May 30th, 2020. Bob and Doug returned to the Kennedy Space Center.
Okay.
They suited up. They waved to their families. And they rode an elevator up nearly 20 stories.
20.
They strapped in to their seats and waited as the tanks beneath them filled with tens of thousands of gallons of fuel.
Yeah, they know that all in the audience.
And then
they
launched.
What?
Yeah,
oh
they did.
God, they launched. today, after I woke up, I went to the bathroom. I brushed my teeth. I thought about what tie I was going to wear on Tucker Carlson tonight. I put on that tie. And you know what I did after? I walked out the door to go to work. Oh, yes, I did. I went to work. I did it.
It sounds like the scene from Elf when Buddy's chronicling his journey from the North Pole to New York.
It reads it's like she's tones. A child.
Yeah.
She's not only reading it as if she is a child, but the audience is filled with children. But they're all adults. Remember, she's saying this to actual astronauts as if she has revealed some secret about space travel.
Millions of Americans watched that day on the hills and sand dunes of Cape Canaveral, in living rooms, dorm rooms, classrooms.
And first of all, no one watched it. Second of all, is she slurring her words?
She always sounds like
but
that.
A little, this one is a little bit more pronounced, it feels like.
Across our nation.
Okay.
We watched Bob and Doug's rocket rise from the launch pad. We watched it climb into the sky.
But do you know who they are?
No.
Did you watch it?
No. When was this?
I don't even know.
And then.
I didn't watch it.
Disappear from our view.
Oh, you mean it went so high because.
For the first time in almost a decade, we witnessed American astronauts launch an American rocket from American soil.
Say America again.
And for the first time in history, we saw astronauts reach orbit in a capsule built and launched by the private sector.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. I feel so inspired. She sounds like when she talked to those kids in that PSA where they hired actors to play the kids who were going to go, like, you're going to see the moon with your own eyes. With your own eyes, my God. It's so exciting. Oh, my God. Other than what I just said, it was an amazing, inspirational speech that will be remembered for forever. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send a text. 1-800-465-8770. You are listening to The Jason Rant Show. Welcome back to The Jason Rant Show. Thank you so much for tuning in. Don't forget, if you ever miss a moment of the show, you can become a podcast subscriber. Simply text the keyword RANTS, R-A-N-T-Z, to 1-800-465-8770. I'll send you a link to my podcast. We'll also send you a link to my blog, where producer Max has a story up looking into the worsening crime crisis here in the Seattle area and what potentially could be done to make a dent in the crisis, at least from a small business perspective. Try to mitigate the risks of doing business in Seattle. Right now, there are businesses that are getting broken into, some of them multiple times, and it's really costly. And there's only so much that can be done when you have just a surveillance video. What is that going to do? SPD is not going to be able to respond to a break-in within a reasonable amount of time because we don't have the staff. We just don't. And so I got curious when I saw a product pitched based out of California. It's called Density USA. That's the company. What is this product?
It's a fogging system that's tied to your security alarm. And it basically sprays out a fog. If someone sets off your alarm, it goes wall to wall, floor to ceiling in an attempt to deter criminals from taking anything.
Harry Mergen is a rep from Density USA, and he spoke to us to say, yeah, this will prevent the bad guy from stealing things.
The fogger sets about a third of the way back from the entrance, and as the intruder comes in, they'll see a bellowing fog coming at them, and they don't know if it's pepper spray or tear gas, or they just don't know. So this fog repels them out from where they came in.
And like prehistoric creatures could come out, like in the Stephen King novella. That was
yeah,
into
he
movie.
Went on to say that, but I
you took that,
I
part out.
That part out.
I would have kept it in. For those of you trying to figure out what this actually looks like, because when you think of things like a fog, it's quite slow. But this fog really, really quickly generates into a room to the point where you can't see anything. Like, you legitimately cannot see anything but the thick fog. And I kind of liken it to when you go to a spa, sometimes when you go into the sauna, and depending on the one you go to, it has that big exhaust system that just puts the it just goes, and you can barely see anything. This is way more thick than that, and it's so quick. But here's the deal: they say the fog isn't harmful, not to people or to the products that you have on the shelves in the business where the fog is going.
It is water and a food-based glycol, so it's human and pet safe. And all the employees, I mean, we've been fogged just to see how it works. So it's very much harmless.
It does take about 45 minutes or so to dissipate, which, fine by me, it's going to take you that long in the middle of the night. If you get an alarm at 3 a.m., it's going to take you about that long to get there. And if this, within moments, and did they tell you exactly how long it takes to fill a room? Because it looked on some of the videos that I saw like 30 seconds.
Yeah, two or 3 minutes, depending on the size of the room.
Yeah, it is truly remarkable. And apparently it's being used in 80 countries around the world. Smart people decided to install this. And Mergen says they reached out to the city of Seattle.
Well, I thought that the mayor would have a urgency to, you know, help the crime situation. And
just real quickly, that was a mistake to assume that the mayor treats this with any sense of urgency. You can tell this guy's not from around here.
Seattle. So what I was trying to do was talk to the mayor and somehow get to business owners and let them know that there is a solution.
Now, in fairness, he is trying to sell a product. This is a company that is looking to sell a product and make a profit. I have no problem with that. If this works, there's no difference than when, you know, people go, oh, I guess you're going to have to get a Ring surveillance camera. Yeah, that's also a for-profit business that we all can see some benefits to when it comes to identifying criminals in neighborhoods, for example. I love this idea so much. Did he tell you how expensive it was to install?
Anywhere between $2,000 to $5,000, depending on the model.
That's not awful.
No.
It is a lot. But when you think about the only downside to this is, and I guess I can explain around it, but someone's going to break into your building. They're going to break a door. They're going to break a window. So that's already going to be broken. That's going to set you back potentially a couple thousand dollars. Then they get in, and then you get this going, and then they leave as a result. So, you know, $2,000, the person doesn't actually know that if they go in, they're going to get the fog. So maybe you get some signage. But for the most part, at least it stops them from stealing things on the shelves or in your back office or the till.
Well, I when I was talking to this guy, I instantly thought of our friend Cameron at Serafina, the most recent break-in where they're literally going through the wine cellar looking for the very special wines and taking the most valuable ones or the ones they thought to be the most valuable ones. That would deter something like this. Yeah, your windows are already broken, but...
but they're going to get broken anyway, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, you're kind of conceding that at this point, which is sad, but here we are.
Do you want to be a rep for these guys? Do you think they'll get you a commission if you can sell it to Serafina?
Maybe.
I think probably like 5%.
Yeah,
10%, something like that.
At least 10, yeah.
Yeah, that would actually be... I love this idea. We've got the write-up online right now, including a link to their site, so you can actually get video of how this works. Text the keyword RANTZ, R-A-N-T-Z, to 1-800-465-8770. Text R-A-N-T-Z to 1-800-465-8770. I don't know if I've heard of a similarly innovative approach to stopping crime. At least that's legal. I've definitely heard things that are not quite legal to stop crime from happening, or at least mitigate the risks of what you would lose in a crime. So I'm all about this.
Yeah, I mean, it's just something different that nobody has tried yet, at least in this country.
And look, if they're not going to use it in Seattle or Washington, head on over to Colorado. There's a dude named Todd Irwin. He runs a Ace Hardware store in Colorado. It gets hit every single day. Every single day. They have petty thieves. They have shoplifting. And it just continues to escalate. It continues to worsen. He spoke with Fox Business.
We're getting hit every single day. It's just gotten worse and worse. Now it's pretty brazen. They're coming in with organized crime, cell phones, getaway vehicles, working against our management team. The petty theft, it used to be every day. Now it's the big brazen, large ticket items just walking out of our doors.
Does this sound familiar? If I told you he was a business owner here in Washington State, whether we're talking about Tukwila, Olympia, Seattle, Bellingham, wouldn't you say, oh, yeah, of course, we expect that in Washington? Well, this is happening in Colorado, and at the same time, he's blaming what we blame here in Washington.
I'd like to talk to the governor. I'd like to see legislation change. They've basically decriminalized theft. Anything less than $2,000 is a misdemeanor. Unfortunately, the law enforcement has their hands strapped as well. They're not able to do anything. If they are able to apprehend these suspects, they write them a ticket, they let them walk, and they're stealing that afternoon.
Again, does this sound familiar? Does this sound like it could be happening here? In fact, it does happen here. What I find, part of his argument that I find to be curious, is he doesn't extend his blame to just the city or the state lawmakers. He also calls out some tech companies.
I'd also like to go after the big tech companies, these guys that are enabling the thieves to sell our product online, like Facebook Marketplace, Craigslist, some of these other platforms. We need some help from government to not allow that to happen.
That is kind of curious, but I don't know what you can do short of just closing them down, which is obviously not fair. You know, they're selling things online. It's like Craigslist used to be until people realized it was just creepy and it was mostly for hookups and then getting stabbed and robbed. Not that I know from experience, but you might. Is it Facebook's fault for having a marketplace? That's not fair.
No, but you can understand why he's frustrated.
I get
if he gets broken into, logs onto Facebook and sees a backhoe or whatever.
The only thing I guess you can do in cases like that is get Facebook, because Amazon does this, to basically get credit card information for whomever is selling something there, so at least you have it tied to an identity. Now, it could still be a stolen identity, obviously, but I bet you it cuts down dramatically on that. Because on Amazon, you can sell as a third-party seller. Let's say you've got a, you know, we get books sent here all the time from publishers. You can just go on to Amazon, sell it as a used like new book for $10 off, whatever you're doing. It's all profit to you. You can do the same for pretty much anything that they sell on Amazon, but you have to have an account. And this account for Amazon is tied to a credit card. Obviously, Facebook, you need to have an account, but just having an account isn't tied to your actual identity, at least as you can prove it through either a bank or a credit card. So maybe they can do that. I don't know if that's going to stop a lot of these people from stealing, because I'm willing to bet that the majority of the items that they're stealing, they're probably not selling online. There might be some of it. What's that stupid OfferUp app?
Yeah.
Like, I've heard that being used a little bit, but I'm willing to bet a lot of it is just on the streets.
It's a new angle to this problem, though, that we hadn't uncovered yet.
Okay, we don't relax. What do you know him? You owe him money? You don't need to give him that much credit.
I'm just saying, we haven't heard
come up. I would have come up with
that.
Oh,
yet.
Shut up. I would have come up with this exact angle if I just thought about it just for an extra 30 seconds. I was 30 seconds away from figuring it out myself, and then I saw this story from Fox Business. You don't have to give him credit. What about me? You never give me any credit. 1-800-465-8770. If you want to send a text, 1-800-465-8770. You're listening to The Jason Rant Show. Welcome back to The Jason Rant Show. Thank you so much for tuning in. There were two retirement announcements today, and I don't know which of the two I care least about. You have Dr. Phil, and you have Tom Brady. Now, both are big in their own circles, in their own ways. I would presume, actually, Dr. Phil probably is worth more than Tom Brady somehow, just because of syndication deals. He's been doing that for a long time, that show. But you have Tom Brady, who is retiring. Now, of course, everyone knows the name Tom Brady. He plays for the
Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
I was about to say that.
Oh, sorry.
Stop jumping on me. So he plays for the Tampa Bay
Buccaneers.
Okay. So he plays for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And his position, of course, and obviously everybody knows his position, is this
quarterback.
What is it?
Quarterback,
okay. But he's the star of this new movie.
80 for Brady.
Is that really a movie and wasn't an SNL sketch?
Yeah, that's really okay. A movie.
So he announced on Instagram that he's done.
Good morning, guys. I'll get to the point right away. I'm retiring for good. I know the process was a pretty big deal last time, so when I woke up this morning, I figured I just press record and let you guys know first. So,
oh, and by the way, nice little humble brag about where you're living. You didn't even have to say anything. I mean, you could hear it on the radio.
Well, he plays for a team in Florida. What do you want? No.
But I mean, he's in paradise, this dude. How much did he make this last season? Do we know?
Like probably 28 to 30 million, something like that.
You know what the sad part is? He's about to get way more doing play-by-play or color commentary.
Yeah, he'll be
Fox, the
lead
right?
guy on Fox.
He's
he'll
on
take
Fox.
Greg Olson.
I won't be long-winded. You only get one super
emotional
retirement essay, and I used mine up last year. So
it's a monologue.
Really, thank you guys so much to every single one of you for supporting me. My family.
I was going to break down.
My friends, my teammates, my competitors. I could go on forever. There's too many.
No, please don't. Just end it.
Thank you guys for allowing me to live my absolute dream.
Okay.
I wouldn't change a thing.
Uh-huh.
Love you all.
We love you, too. I will say his family wasn't that supportive, at least one part of the family.
Goodness.
Well, I'm just saying. Wasn't it Giselle?
Yeah.
She's all like, I'm out.
She posted something on Instagram.
What'd she say?
Happy for you in your next chapter or something.
Did it end with, let's get back together?
I don't think so.
So you would think that he would spend a little bit of the time, now that he's not playing football, trying to reconcile that relationship, or is it just done?
I don't know.
You'd right? I mean,
think maybe.
They're not officially divorced, right?
I thought they were.
Are they?
Yeah.
I thought they were still separated.
Well, whatever.
I mean, who cares? They can get back together. There's no rules. And how many kids he has? He has definitely
three or
the one.
Four.
He has seven?
Yeah.
Okay. He's got a lot of kids that he's going to have to care for. So, you know, if I was in his financial situation, I would jump on that Fox deal too. Because, you know, he's going to need a steady paycheck now that he's only worth $273 billion.
Well, you make more money on TV as an analyst than you do
that
top of the market
nuts.
Quarterback now.
Well, is he considered top of the market quarterback anymore?
I mean,
he played poorly in this last season.
Yeah, he wasn't great this year, but up until last year, he was still pretty solid.
There was the conversation about him ending his career in San Francisco. And now that Brock Purdy hurt his elbow, they had basically no... This was a... Did you not hear this rumor? It was everywhere
so
early this
spread
week.
Spread this rumor?
I saw
not
it
anybody
on
that matters.
I saw it on Twitter everywhere on Monday. I cannot have been the only person who saw that. Send a text to confirm I'm not crazy at 1-800-465-8770. I heard that rumor spread on Monday.
What was that, BuzzFeed Sports?
No, it was probably something dumb like Stephen A. Smith said. I don't remember. I don't know. Who do I follow on Twitter?
Well, exactly.
But I'm saying I saw it everywhere. And you know what? I think Brian Suits talked about it. He might have talked about it on Monday. Or maybe it was
Greg,
his producer.
Eggs.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, he knows more about football than I do. And then Dr. Phil is ending his show after this current season, the 21st season. He made the decision, according to CBS Media Ventures. He's 72 years old. He's all like, yeah, I'm done. These people I'm talking to with all their problems, it's kind of just depressing. Can't I just live the rest of my life surrounded by happiness instead of all these creatures who just, first of all, they're hideous, both inside and out. I just want nothing to do with them anymore. I was shocked that Dr. Phil was still on the air. I did not realize it was on the air. I thought it got canceled like a decade ago. No clue. And then Matt Walsh was on one time just the last year talking about transgender issues. And I was like, oh, okay, the show's still on. And I guess they're kind of delving into some political discussion, but for the most part, I still think it's who's your baby's mama.
Isn't he on like right now?
I don't know. I legitimately did not realize he was still on the air. And to do this for 21 years, that's nuts. I don't think I can do anything. I could barely live for 21 years. That was a hassle. I did it twice now almost. My God. Could you imagine doing that show? Could you imagine doing this show for 21 years?
No.
If you're still my producer 21 years from now.
That would be terrible.
For both of us, believe me. 21-year producer. Oh, my God. 1-800-465-8770. You have some priorities and growth. My God. You're just going to sit there the whole time for 21 years? You've been doing it almost for a year. You're not even a full year in. My God.